You're listening to the All Elite Podcast, your favorite AEW fan podcast for in-depth analysis and discussions about the number one growing brand in professional wrestling today, All Elite Wrestling. This podcast is broadcast live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch on behalf of the No Holds Barred Network. The network is your source for wrestling interviews and podcast content featuring independent wrestling and AEW. Also, make sure to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. So sit back, relax, and interact in the live chat. Enjoy the show.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the All Elite Podcast right here on the No Holds Barred Network, which is your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I am your host, as always, of the All Elite Podcast. My name is Kyle Masters, and I'm usually joined by my co-host. Her name is Tiffany. Right now, she is indisposed. She's doing a lot of indie things because she is the indie queen. She's the queen, as she's known, the queen of the indies, the lady of the light tubes. You know, she's got the Jericho long list of nicknames, but she's not here today. But that's okay because I have my best friend, the one and only. Oops. Let me do that again. The one and only, Bill Botkins.
What's up, dude?
Bill?
I'm good, man. This ain't water, so I'm doing good on a Saturday night. Well, hell of an episode of Dynamite. So I'm ready to talk some wrestling.
Well, then. Thank you for coming on, Bill. Really do appreciate you coming in and filling in for Tiffany. I wish I was drinking right now. Currently, I was on the fence about tonight because obviously Tiff not being here, but I'm also not feeling the greatest the last couple of days. If you guys remember,
I've been living a hell of a work situation for the past 3 weeks, so I know how you're feeling. So I've cut back my podcasting and writing a lot recently, so I'm stoked to be here. And yeah, I'm always here for the hot tag whenever Tiff needs it. So you know, just call me hot Robert tag. Gibson. Just call me Hoot, baby.
That's right. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm feeling a little bit better. I think I'm gonna be good for this episode of the podcast. So it was bad yesterday. That's why yesterday I really was on the fence about it, but I contacted Bill. I'm like, you know what, Bill, I'm going to try to feel better tomorrow. And Bill coming on, thank you very much. But yeah, we're here to talk some AEW. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the All Elite Podcast, where usually myself and Tiff talk about everything in that AEW world, whether we're talking about BTE, Dark, Elevation, Dynamite, Rampage, soon to come. Everything that's happening in AEW, we talk about it right here in the podcast. Tonight, specifically talking about Saturday Night Dynamite. But before we get to anywhere, guys, we are sponsored by Manscaped. As you can see there in the bottom right this way, bottom left corner, by Manscaped with their beautiful, guys, new Lawnmower 4.0. I have it right here. That's right, guys. They sent it to me. This thing is a beautiful, awesome product. We are sponsored with them, so you guys can use a promo code on behalf of us that is shop. I was going to say shop AEW. AEP Shave at checkout saves you 20% and gets you free shipping. You can get stuff like the Lawnmower 4.0. You can get one of these, the Weed Whacker, the Nose and Ear Trimmer. These are actually fantastic products, guys. I'm not just saying that because we're sponsored by them. I literally have been using these since day one, since they sent them to me. And I kid you not, I can vouch for them. These are amazing products. Like, I will never use another men's grooming kit again besides Manscaped. It's honestly that good. So go check it out, guys.
And if I could shoot for a second as someone who's creeping up on 40, guys, when you hear about nose trimmers, when you hear about ear trimmers, you're like, I'm not my dad. I don't need to do that. One day you're going to be like looking in the mirror and be like, Jesus Christ.
Is that a spider coming out of my ear?
It's a jungle up in my nostrils, and it looks like Chewbacca growing around my ears. So you're going to need it. So check out Manscaped. Yeah,
get the weed whacker. It's called a weed whacker. Believe it or not, folks, look at that. I kid you not, look at that. The weed whacker. It's literally called that. It's awesome. So go check them out. And you're going to save 20% and get free shipping. Code SHAVE or AEP SHAVE. But
I thought that joke would have popped the chat a little bit more. Apparently, I got to work on my material.
Got to go back to the writer's block. Maybe, you know, Bill. Yeah, I got to go fire
about three writers who don't watch the product.
Yeah, you know, if they're going out on podcasts and saying that they don't watch your product, you probably should let them go.
Speaking of letting go, maybe some future AEW talent just was let go on Friday.
Oof, you can say that again.
Another brutal goddamn Friday. That in the wrestling world.
Well, it was Black Wednesday, was it not? The first dark day. Like, usually it's on a Wednesday because they quote it Black Wednesday. This was weirdly on a Friday, and interesting releases. I mean, we're going to talk about it. It's an AEW podcast, but we talk about it because some of them might end up in AEW. And, you know, it does suck that, like, people lose their jobs, right? Like, it's you feel bad for them. We're not just going to sit here and say, like, oh, you know, FWWE. I'm just not a podcast that does that. But, you know, it is a shame that, you know, these people are losing their jobs in a company that makes so much money. That is what that is. But yeah, there a few of them I could see end up with AEW. I know for a fact Tyler Breeze is very good friends with Cody and Sean Spears. So there's that picture that was floating around as well.
I just saw that today. Yeah. I didn't know he was tight with Cody. I know him and Spears have flat backs, which has done really well.
So, I mean, isn't it, it's him and Sean Spears that have their own wrestling school, is it not?
Yeah, Flatbacks. Yeah,
Flatbacks. So, there's a connection there. I could see, I mean, Breeze would be a great talent. I know there's always this thing, every single time there's a release, it's like, oh, AEW, all you do is they steal WWE talent. I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? If they're talent.
I think a lot of the talent, we're coming up on that, the 90-day for that first batch. I feel like a lot of talent's going to Impact. And a lot of talent might end up in Ring of Honor as opposed to WWE. And as we saw with Samoa Joe, some might go back to WWE. But of the new batch, there's two acts that I look at. I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. And it wasn't Tyler Breeze. It was Tony Nese.
Oh, man.
Because he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And he's the type of guy who he got his moments to shine in WWE, but I think, you know, he's a Long Island guy, grew up with a lot of these dudes, through the indies and stuff. So could see him being a very interesting piece to the AEW puzzle. And Ever-Rise, those guys fit the BTE model. I mean, had great matches with the Young Bucks and Chikara, great matches with Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano and Chikara, great stuff with Stu and Uno. So they're really funny. I mean, they were all over WWE social media. In fact, like Thursday, they were announced to like do mornings on YouTube, and then I got fired. And I'm like, those guys would be perfect. So let's get Big Magic and Scott Jagged over there, and let's get a little 3.0 action.
I can definitely see Ever-Rise AEW bound like 100%. Out of all of them, the top of the list is Ever-Rise because they're going to make fun of like the Ever-Rise name, and they're going to do everything on BTE.
Very funny and a great tag team to add to like a ludicrously deep tag team bench. But it's also if AEW, remember when they started, they had that whole theory where they're like, we're going to cycle people in and out. So some people might be off for a few months and other people come in if they want to tour other countries, other promotions, you know, Chris Jericho with his band or, you know, creative projects.
That's also the big thing right there, what you just said, because a lot of the talent have that freedom to go elsewhere, and you know, there's that contract between them and AEW. It's like, hey, you can go do this and then this and this. We need you for this amount of time to AEW, and after that, you're free to go do whatever. That's why they can sign all these people and not have to worry about too much of inflated roster, because half the time people are going to be doing stuff elsewhere. Once like stuff starts getting like we're getting almost in the rhythm of stuff going back to normal. When stuff really clears weird, up around the world rather than just North America, then you're going to see a lot more of that. Here's the thing,
I think
too.
You'll see some AEW talents in a lot of those New Japan tournaments.
I just want to make a point of this, too. So when AEW sees the releases, and it cannot even just be WWE, it's like other companies as well. AEW is not, in a way, if you look at WWE and AEW, what are you getting with WWE? You're getting the entertainment. That's what they're known for. They're known for the wrestlers that do entertainment stuff and less about the in-ring product. AEW focuses a lot more on the in-ring product. So when I see the argument that, like, someone gets released from WWE and they don't really, you know, they're not really good on the mic or whatever, I'm like, I don't care. If they're good in the ring, it's still a good signing. They'll work on the promo skills and all that stuff.
But it's also just like, it's also a change of scenery. Like, look how many talents we've seen go from WWE elsewhere, not just AEW. And they've evolved and they've shined and they've done great things. Yeah, Drew McIntyre. I was a big fan of his run in Scotland. And they came back to fight Bobby Lashley a million times in Impact during its lowest time. And now he's fighting Bobby Lashley in WWE during this weird history repeats itself. But not either one of their fault, by the way. But yeah, it's like you saw a lot of people go elsewhere and do great things. The guy that I don't want him to lose his job, because it's going to make me sound like I'm saying that, is I want Mustafa Ali to end up in AEW, because I think his talent as both an in-ring guy and as a guy who can create his own promos and hype his own feuds would be so much better realized there than in WWE. Damn right.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Keeper Girl's here in the chat. So I do want to show love to you guys all in the chat. Thank you, everyone who's tuning in the live chat right now to talk some AEW.
10:20 on a Saturday night. Let's go, guys.
Hello there, everybody. Hello there. But yes, big releases. Yeah,
Brazongo and Impact, I can see for sure.
Yeah. Who?
Oh, well, former Fandango and former Tyler Breeze.
Well, so he'll go back to his real name, I'm assuming, Fandango of... was it John something Curtis? Was it something Curtis?
Yeah, that's not his real name either.
Okay, so that was just another ring name?
Yeah, Johnny Curtis. That was.
Back to Johnny Curtis.
I mean, I don't think WWE is going to hold that onto that copyright. Trademark.
I totally seen someone say that. I think it was actually our buddy Samster. He was like, I want to see them come back as something called Furbreeze instead of Brazonka.
Febreze would be great. That'd be great.
But that kind of sucks about
we are Febreze.
About Tyler Breeze, because I'm assuming he can't do up, up, down, down. Like that's done, because that's is up, up, down, down is WWE owned now, right?
Yeah.
So
I know it's always been WWE.
Okay, it's always been okay. I wasn't really sure. I thought like Xavier kind of agreed to after the whole Twitch fiasco with them.
No, I think like that was a thing. Like they kind of came out and said, "I've always kind of done this with WWE." Oh, okay. Yeah,
well,
so it'd be interesting to see if, unless they bring Tyler Breeze back on like kind of a content creator thing to have him still on that show.
So they kind of fired him from his wrestling contract.
That's what they did with Justin Duke, though.
But well, I think that's the one thing is Tyler Breeze content at this point in his life to say, you know, I don't think he's done everything he wants to do in wrestling, to be honest. So I think he's going to be like, hey, sayonara, I'll come back and maybe do this in a year or two.
I mean, he did fight Jushin Liger once. So, right. I mean, hey.
What if he goes to New Japan? I wouldn't mind him showing up on New Japan Strong and doing some stuff here in America with that.
That's the other guy is Big Damo, the former Killian Dane, one of the only NXT names I really enjoyed. Him and New Japan Strong would be killer, man. Him and Dickinson, him and Kratos, him and Tom Lawler. Forget about it, dude. Another guy who could work in AEW too, just like repackage him. But I think New Japan and him would just go like peanut butter and jelly. Or Bill Bodkin and Irish whiskey. You know, it's just meant to be.
Speaking of New Japan, I think is it August or July? There's a Los Angeles Coliseum show where Moxley is showing up with the
Flame. Yeah. At the LA Forum, I want to say. Yeah, Mox and the Good Brothers, definitely confirmed.
Yeah, and Jay White's going to be there.
Jay White.
What's up with Jay White?
Who I thought was going to be in NXT in January, but I'm wrong. He's still like show up in Florida, maybe just made for AEW. I don't know what the deal with Jay White is. I don't even know what the deal with Will Ospreay is, to be honest with you. But apparently Bea Priestley is going to be this mystery woman in NXT UK, which I DM'd you guys this morning.
Don't even get me started about that fucking name. When you DM'd me that name, I was like, that is horrible.
I mean, it's horrible better name. Than Blake Christian becoming Trey Baxter. Oh. He sounds like a third string defensive tackle for the Giants who gets cut and like, you know, the preseason.
I don't even like Alex Zane's new name, Ari Sterling. Oh. Like, what the fuck is Ari Sterling?
He's just trying to rip off of AEW's hottest new commodity, Smart Mark Sterling.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah,
Secret Detective One. I don't know your real name, but I don't know what's up with Jay White. I know he's got like abs for days that you could do laundry on, but I don't know what the King Switch's deal is.
I asked you because I saw New Japan post about a couple hours ago about him doing a virtual signing tonight, and they were like pushing the sellout of all his merchandise. I'm going like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at him like from like two different sides here. Is it A, because his shit's selling out like crazy that, you know, he's a hot commodity in New Japan, they're not going to let him go? Or B, is it they're trying to clear everything out for his way out?
No, I don't know, man, because like he's got a multi-year deal there. Like that was the thing. Like around the time when he said he was going to leave, everyone thought he was going to leave was... Yes, Doudrop is a horrible thing for Piper Niven, who I've been a fan of since before WWE even got her mitts on him, on her.
I'll go into a tangent if I talk about that. I'm not talking about that.
I just saw that chat. I'm just saying, agree.
I will lose it talking about that because that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, period.
They're already going to break him up. Don't worry. Yeah. But, MLW is in play too, for sure, for sure. I think Arturo Ruas would be the perfect guy for MLW, so given his fight background and New Japan strong. But with Jay White, I think he's got time left on the deal. I think they have to do something with him. He's stale.
So is this show, but like that's what I mean. I'm talking about the show with Moxie being with IWGP. Are we getting that?
Well, Tony Khan.
Because you look at the rest of the roster, and I'm like, okay, what's main eventing this show? It's got to be Moxley and Jay White.
Oh no, I think it could be Shooter Umino and Jon Moxley versus the Good Brothers because
Shooter and
Moxley are like solid gold.
Yeah,
brother. They're like roller disco. It's great. I don't know where that came from. That's
you think that's wrong. A headline for a Coliseum show though?
Well, it's outside the Coliseum.
Oh, okay.
It's the flame at the Coliseum.
Sorry.
Or the Forum or whatever the hell it is. But yeah, listen, Big Biceps, Tony Khan said that, hey, I've got a lot of plans booked with New Japan for that IWGP US title. Hell of a run would be Switchblade and Jon Moxley. That would be a fresh matchup and people would eat it up, especially if you're going on the road right now. I think that's good. That would be a really cool, fresh matchup, fresh feud. And just imagine him
showing up.
Let's say
TV.
Yeah, just showing up in like in August. Maybe hey, he shows up in Charlotte. Switchblade shows up.
There's an IWGP match, like Moxie defending against I don't know, someone that's on Impact from New Japan. You know, that's already over here.
I'm saying because I don't know what Mox's deal is going to be when he comes back from paternity leave. But imagine All Out, Jon Moxley, Jay White. That's a hell of a match. That's a hell of a draw. That's very interesting to me.
See, now, I talked about it briefly last week, Bill. And I put up on the screen for you guys.
I did not listen last week. I apologize. But I think you guys broadcast during the day. And
It was a weird time, I understand. And it was like 9 a.m. It was horrible. I never want to do a morning podcast again.
If you watch Loki... I am in episode 3. My work is lamentous. It is literally a planet crashing into another planet. It's awful. So I didn't get a chance to listen. So please hit me with your theory.
Well, it's a theory about the month of September with AW in general. So I'll put up on the screen for you guys.
Which could be a glorious month and my box seats are still reserved.
Right? So whoever doesn't know, here's the poster. If you haven't seen this and you've been living under a rock, we're going to have All Out. We're also going to have a Wednesday, September 22nd, Queens, New York
show. This show is bonkers, dude.
Dynamite Grand Slam at a massive arena, a tennis arena, which they're saying
Arthur Ashe Arena in Queens, New York City, where they have the U.S. Open every year. It's an enclosed arena, and it could hold upwards of 20,000 people. Now, of course, with production, I don't think you're going to get 20,000.
It's 17.
People.
I think it was between 17 and 18. That's still big.
People are saying, well, they're double dipping with the Newark show. Spoiler alert. People like me have had their tickets to the Newark show since January 2020. So people are going to spring for that show. And it's also, you're hitting Long Island. You're going to hit lots of New York. You're not going to get. So that, I mean, Tiff, I mean, that's like her backyard.
First show in New York, it's going to sell out.
Oh, it's going to sell the hell out.
So this is what I mean. This is going to be a big episode of Dynamite. And they're calling it Grand Slam. I feel like something is going to, they're going to be doing something at All Out. Huge. That's going to be a big draw for this show. That's going to make people go, okay, if they're, I'm not saying they're going to have trouble selling tickets, but for it's just tough because it would make sense if they were having trouble selling tickets and then they did something big at All Out to generate the interest, but they can still do it to generate the interest for TV viewership because it's going to be live on a Wednesday night. It's just something to me is my gut's telling me something big is going to happen in this New York show. So it's
pissed off that like, oh, this is a huge show for them. This is a land. This is a big time show for them. They're going to go, no pun intended. They're going to go all out for it. Like, so there's something big built in there because the one thing AEW knows, like, this is not just to be another Dynamite. Is Bob Culture Podcast, is Kyle Masters coming down for the New York and New Jersey shows? That's a big question.
New Jersey, no. I had to refund my Rochester show because I'm going now.
Well, they're redoing Rochester.
What do you mean?
Rochester is back on the calendar. If you go to AllEliteWrestling.com.
Yeah, it's in September, right?
Or AEW Ticks. Yeah, they're doing Rochester.
See, I had to refund them because at the end of September, literally the week after the Grand Slam show, I'll be in up north Canada on vacation. So I had to refund my tickets. So.
What is in up north Canada to do?
Relaxation, that's what. Away from everything.
All right, I don't know Canada.
Trust me,
I know,
it's beautiful.
I know what Toronto is. I know what Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Vancouver are. And I only know Vancouver because they played the Rangers a bunch of times.
So I had to pick one or the other. I have to pick All Out or New York. And
All Out is going to be huge.
I don't know if I want to go to Chicago because I heard like the sleeping arrangements in that area sucks really bad for where the arena is. I'm told by a lot of people that have been.
I've never been to Illinois in my life, so I have no idea.
So I really want to go to the New York show more because
New York show's good. Yeah, you could at least crash with Tiff, but I mean, like, New York's that show, I think, is going to be really big. And I think you're going to get people like Eddie Kingston and Santana Ortiz who had the things that happened this episode because of those guys is huge. But man, those three coming out for that show is going to be off the chain. And then Max Caster and Bowen's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be huge reactions. But Eddie Kingston, man, one, A+ on the beard growing out. But him coming out, dude, in a main event slot in Arthur Ashe and Queens, oh, my God. It's going to be mess. Oh, like, what's that noise Tiffany always makes? I can never remember.
Oh, damn.
It's like, you're.
Oh, you know? You're. Freaking
you're. They're going to do it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's tough with me because of what's going on up here pandemic-wise. So, like, I'm able to book start booking my second shot this Monday. It's looking like middle July I'll be getting it. So, in a way,
You should DM Trudeau to get his shit together. And so you're like, I need to go see some goddamn wrestling, brother.
So, the shot is not the problem. It's the travel restrictions, right? Because the current restrictions are if I'm traveling, I have to, like, quarantine myself for 10 days in the quarantine hotel when I come back here, which I don't want to do. So I'm hoping that by the time – I'm assuming by the time September comes around, that's not going to be a thing anymore because most of the – you know, the population of Ontario or mostly Canada is going to have their second shot because we're already at 20-something percent for the second dose. So by September, I think we're going to be pretty good. Hopefully be pretty good.
Let's hope. And then, hey, maybe your favorite Canadians ever rise will be on that show. Or maybe Speedball Mike Bailey will have it, you know.
Wasn't he WWE bound?
Well, that's the rumor and innuendo on the garbage stream, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? There are surprises at hand. Vicky Guerrero is teasing some surprises.
We'll get to that because I brought it up last week and I'm going to bring it up again today when we talk about that. But before we get anywhere, folks, ladies and gentlemen, like I said earlier, this podcast is wonderfully sponsored by my friends at Manscaped. And I want to promote something for you guys right now. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, our go-to men's below-the-waist grooming products. Manscaped's new product alert, the Ultra Smooth Package. Yes, very, very smooth. It's time to stop, drop, and order this brand new shaving kit, folks, that they just launched. Introducing the Ultra Smooth Package, a specialized groin shaving kit to help you buff, protect, and smooth your most sensitive areas. I'm talking about the new Crop Shaver, the Crop Exfoliator, and Crop Gel. It's time to crop that bush of yours and right to the roots with a discount just for you. It's getting 20% off and saving at checkout with free shipping. Go to manscaped.com and use code AEPSHAVE to save on all that. It's going to be amazing for you guys. It's going to be amazing for your boys down below. And don't let just me tell you that. Let's listen to the one and only Dust the Rhodes tell you all about Manscaped.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kyle.
And we're here for Kyle.
Today's special product, Manscaped.
Are you looking like a Sasquatch around your crotch? Well, don't just take it from us. Take it from WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes.
Listen, Daddy. If the dream knows about anything, it is Manscaped. And I used to cruise down the boulevard with Sapphire with my balls looking like a Thanksgiving Day turkey, baby. They were so smooth and nice. And I did it by using the Lawnmower 3.0, Daddy. And the best thing about it, moisture resistant, waterproof, Daddy. I'm talking about my nuts used to look like a water slide, baby. Not anymore, because the hair is gone. It looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin's head. It is so nice, baby. Don't leave your downstairs looking dusty. Take it from the dream.
Nothing means nothing without Manscaped, brother. Yeah.
And now, a song from the Jobbers.
Don't run me the wrong way. I've been chafing all day. I need a Manscaped. When it hurts real bad and you can smell my ass, I need a Manscaped. Don't sweat it, I need a Manscaped. Don't sweat it, I need a Manscaped.
That's right, folks. We are sponsored by Manscaped. Thank you to my friends at the 5 Second Rule podcast for sponsoring or for making that commercial for our sponsor, Manscaped. Again, guys, code AEPSHAVE at checkout saves you 20% and gets you free shipping. So let's talk about what you guys all want to talk about right
your,
now.
Your balls that look like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, they look like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You're a single man. Tell people how your balls are doing.
They're looking clean, baby. They're smooth, daddy. They have a smooth finish like Stone Cold Steve Austin's ball head. It just shines in the light, baby.
Oh, my God. Somewhere Cody Rhodes is sharpening a knife.
He's sitting there going, how dare he?
He's like,
I'm getting worse. The AEW ban team is banning people on YouTube. Ban these guys.
He's just like, that son of a bitch, I'll fight him in the streets of Toronto.
I already hate their media teams, so whatever. Anyways, moving on.
Don't, yeah, say it on a podcast.
I'll say it. You know, she's...
So it helps you out even further.
They're not watching. Well, maybe. Sometimes I wonder with BT if they're watching, because sometimes we say things and they do it on BT the next day, and I'm like, hey, what the...
Listen, Tiff and Matt Jackson have a bond.
Yeah, they have that signature bond. But anyways, guys, talk about Dynamite.
Oh, I was going to talk about one other thing before we got into Dynamite. Oh. Looks like, so one of the big things when you and I were on the Cody Rhodes media call, I don't know if you were still on it when it happened, but people asked about all the talent that we know we see on Dark and Ring and
still there,
Elevation. And, you know, he said, we're going to be bringing some people with us. And, you know, Kylan King saying, hey, I'm not signed. VSK, I'm not signed. But then you get an Elevation angle with Jorah Joel, the former Rabo the Punjabi Lion.
Oh, I've seen that.
He's offered a position in the Hardy family office, because I would see Rabo in or Robo, whatever. I'm not sure how to pronounce it correctly or not. He's from India and he's on a work visa, I think, over here. And he's like, he was pretty solid in Beyond. And if you have never seen Beyond Wrestling before, like, change your life. Like, that's where you see a lot of people signed right now, or just some great talent.
Right.
And, you know, he was there, and then he goes on Dark, and all of a sudden he's like killing it. And he had a match with Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy's like, I'm going to give you the chance to live the American dream, and you could work for the Hardy family office, but you have to be basically be their butler. You know, he's going to be their young boy. So that, that was one of the first angles I can remember on Elevation in a while. So I think we're going to start seeing some of these cats who we saw in Dark and Elevation getting some ink to pay, you know, some pen to paper.
Now, I really think they should, even though people might want to argue against this. I think Elevation should be treated as a developmental brand, like how NXT used to be treated, and have its own like storylines. And
I think Dark is going to be that, because Tony Khan came out and said to Mike Johnson on PW Insider when they were doing the Arthur Ashe thing that he's looking into securing a venue for Dark to tape independently of. Because Rampage and Elevation will tape, apparently, you know, live, but Dark will be different. So maybe Dark's going to be the developmental brand.
Which is weird. It would make sense that Dark's the way it is Dark, like the Dark matches from Dynamite, right? And Elevation becomes that that developmental brand, because, you know, it elevates you to Dynamite. That just, to me, that sounds a lot more like making sense than the reverse.
I think... Well, Dark, and then you get to Elevation, and Elevation gets to Dynamite or Rampage.
I guess.
But I like this, you know, potentially doing like a, you know, a can studio type thing from whether it's like Center Stage where they do WCW or wherever. I think that's cool. And they're like,
do the spinning stage.
I really hope they, well, I think NWA is doing Center Stage.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I wouldn't be shocked if they did too, but it's like, I would love to see some of these cats who we've seen throughout the year in the pandemic get what they probably deserve, but also use that time if they're developmental, send them to Stardom, send them to New Japan, AAA, Impact, wherever, but just keep them under AEW deals.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to bring up.
That's interesting. No. It's always good to have these discussions, and then it's always cool to see how it plays out and actually what comes to fruition. But again, we're literally 2 weeks away from back to normalcy when it comes to like tapings. We're not going to be, they literally have one more show at Daily's Place and that's it. Like this freaking,
well, they're going back
16 month. Well, I mean like not regularly, you know what I mean?
No, like, apparently every 6 weeks, they're going to be back in Daily's
Place. Every 6 weeks.
Well, they're coming back August, sometime in August. That's already been announced. And then I've heard people say like every 6 weeks or so, they'll be back in Daily's Place.
It's a little odd.
Maybe not. We'll see.
I know that they're going. I know that the way it looks, they're going to be doing some sort of UK tour in November because a bunch of people are signed for the Comic Con over there. So you know there's going to be a UK tour. Yep. So I can't wait for that. So there's probably, I'm assuming by then the live event that Tony Khan was talking about before the pandemic is going to start up and going too. Like they did plan that they were, like Tony Khan was talking about, I remember pre-pandemic, about possibly getting live events going. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's Dynamites in markets they never hit, like Milwaukee and New Orleans and New Mexico, apparently. Yeah.
And they'll have enough talent to fill those live events as well. Like, it's not going to be, like, heavy star fill. Like, you know the heavy stars will be on the Dynamite and the Rampage, and then maybe they do a live event on the Saturday night. And
I heard that house show they did in Jacksonville was a ton of fun.
See this? Oh, yeah, okay, I see. I remember the BT footage from the house show. They showed footage from that massive tag match, and that they were literally having so much fun with that match. Like that, I'm like, see this?
They got Takeshita. He came over from DDT. Oh, and your girl? No, not your girl. Sorry, not Makito. Yuka Sakazaki is going to be back in AEW.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying, "Bring Maki with you."
please. I mean, we all want her back. We all want her back. She's the best. I'm very curious to see how live crowds are going to explode when she shows up.
Let's talk about Dynamite. Let's talk about
it.
We're like
37
minutes into
episode
of Dynamite. So hot episode of Dynamite. When I say hot, it was hot there. This is a good thing. This is a good thing that we're going back on tour as well, because it is it does make a massive difference when it's humid as hell there. But apparently, it was 86 degrees at bell time plus humidity, making it 90-something. So wrestling in that is not fun whatsoever. I know.
Sounds
I've
like
done,
August
I've done,
in the ECW arena.
Yeah, I've done like housework outside in that weather, and I can only imagine wrestling in. Some of the people like are doing like promos in the ring, like fully clothed attire. Man, they must be like dying. Like Conan was like shaking, man, like he was and sweating buckets. But we'll get to that.
He was a little shaky. Yeah, I did see that.
But right at the start of Dynamite, Sean Spears just attacks Sammy in the parking lot. My boy,
how
gets the opening scene?
How excited were you for Sean Spears?
I didn't think I wore the shirt today.
I feel like you have 7 shirts. That's say Canadian God on it, and you wear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I actually I wholesale ordered from.
You should.
Sean. I'm like, don't just send me one. Just send me the crate. Send me the crate, boys. I'll pay you installments. Just send me the crate and
the chair.
And the chair. Okay, I need the chair.
I know you
like,
do.
That the chair needs to be. I will spend. I'm not going to spend the $700 on the replica belt because I can wait for that. I will spend the money on the chair. If it's $200, I'll spend the money on the damn chair. I want the chair.
All the things an unmarried man could say.
Right.
If I said to my wife, I'm going to spend $200 on a chair with a Canadian, like a maple leaf with a skull in it, she'd be like,
What about $700 on a replica belt? Which, hang on, it's seven for she you. Would, it's about $2,100 more dollars for me.
If I told her I was spending $700 on a replica belt, she would have every justification to punch me right in the mouth because I can't justify that for myself.
So Hangman and Powerhouse Hobbs open up Dynamite. Man, like Hangman, the crowd reaction again in front of a crowd. I know it wasn't full crowd. It was they took everyone from the upper decks and moved them in to the stage area, and they kind of it filled up to like around the ring, basically. The rest of the seats I could tell were empty. I saw a few shots where
I could say they probably had maybe close to 2,000 people there.
It was loud, like it was great, and it was great to see. And Hangman, like one of the, I was texting him, like, man, Hangman, you were mentioning Sammy and Jungle Boy are like the top mega baby faces of this company over everybody. Yeah. Everybody, I don't care who it is, they're all these three, the mega baby faces. Insane reaction.
We got those seeds planted once again on BTE this
week. Oh, my God.
Preston Vance dropped his really expensive aged cocaine into everybody. And, you know, I know a few people who have done the Matt Sydal thing and, you know, have had their third eye opened and, you know, done the ayahuasca, you know, shitting in a tub in Brooklyn. But, you know, he was tripping balls and he, you know, we went back to the title.
Yeah.
When is this going to happen?
Oh, they're teasing it. They're teasing it hard, and you saw it last week too. When they brought up like to when Marvez brought up the world title thing to Hangman, and he kind of just like he dodged the question completely because he's like, it's they do these little things, and it's like I want to say All Out is the time. If not, maybe it's the Grand Slam show. Maybe they're planning that's gonna headline the Grand Slam show, Hangman versus Kenny.
I almost wonder. If they go back to Revolution, because either Revolution or Double or Nothing. Revolution, that's because they had the tag match there.
Did they hold out until 2022 with this? Why are they dropping hints early then? I feel like if you're going to do that, you wait till like after All Out to start doing this.
Listen, the greatest stories are sometimes told.
Well, I mean, John Cena and The Rock literally took an entire year to build their feud. Like, literally one whole year.
That wasn't a great story. They just announced a match. And they're like, this is going to happen. We're all like, all right, I guess we have to accept the fact this is happening. Yeah. But I feel like they could build it because think about Double or Nothing, like just like the history Hangman has, but they're back in Vegas. Like it could, but I could see the latest maybe Revolution.
I know it's not going to be full gear.
Oh, it can't be full gear.
Not going to be full gear. So it's either going to be All Out, the Grand Slam show, or they're going to wait till Revolution of next year. The Grand Slam show would make.
I don't think Sammy Callahan's taking that Impact title, by the way.
No.
From the chat, no. I don't think I have.
Oh,
I have
that. No, that's not happening.
My thing. If I was, everyone's talking about Braun Strowman to AEW, will it happen? I always say I've been saying to people, Braun Strowman to Impact makes the most sense. Braun Impact needs
that would be a sight.
Sure, but you know what? Yeah. Braun Strowman needs the Impact needs a headliner. And think about a match between Kenny Omega and Braun Strowman for the Impact title. Kenny can get a good match out of anybody. Braun Strowman is no slouch, in my opinion. And you can have Braun Strowman showing up on Dynamite.
See, I want
having him to be in AEW.
See, I want that to happen because I want to see and have Braun prove to everyone else how much of a good wrestler he is.
Yeah, and also Kenny, I want to show him. I want to see. He will be the A number one guy in Impact, whereas he will just be a guy in AEW. So I want Impact to do well. So let's put him there, and like, you know, he can work with the conglomerate there, and like, you know, the you go to New Japan, he can go work with other people, and I think that would make the most sense. But yeah, I don't think it's Sammy, but that's just me. And I like Sammy.
So basically, Hangman's this era's Stone Cold Steve Austin, the guy that drinks the beer after the match.
He's really
loved with the crowd. He gets the massive pop every time his music starts. He's hotter than Hoochie Coochie, apparently, according to his nameplate this week.
That's a deep cut. I don't know, but yeah. All right.
Hangman again, unintentionally bleeding though from the top of the head with that post shot. Second time in like a month, I'm sitting there going like, man, can you please be careful out there? I know it's tough sometimes. You can't really predict stuff, or you can't really like stop stuff like this from happening. But I mean, that's twice in a month now where it's like a pretty bad cut in your head, man.
Yeah. Well, it's not as bad as that one against Janelle. He was like,
yeah,
he was like Muta scale bleeding. You're like, Jesus.
So the one part in this match where like the crowd's saying, you still suck to Hobbs. And Hobbs looks at him and goes, so is your mother.
Dude, Will like, Hobbs.
I pop so hard for that.
He's gonna be like we talked about the big time baby faces. He's gonna be the big time heel coming up for them. He's so good. Like you could tell, like he's just so good.
He's young too, right? Like, he's super young.
Yeah, I know, Kimmy. He's having another kid, but Hangman's having a kid, but it'll happen one day. That title, but yeah, Will Hobbs. He's just about there. He's just about ready to hit that next segment. And that thing he does where he just basically trucks a guy is one of my favorite moves. It's so a nothing move. Like, it's like not even a move. He just like throws his chest into somebody, but it's so devastating.
He's got the look, man. He's got the charisma. The guy's pretty much money for Team Taz right now. And I guess it looks like the turmoil is just going to keep turning, and Starks interfering and Brian Cage stopping the interference. So Brian Cage versus Hobbs for the FTW belts bound to happen probably when they go back on the road, maybe one of the July shows.
That'd be awesome. And then give me Hook. I want Hook in the ring.
Hook's not taking it off Brian Cage. It'll be Hobbs taking off Brian Cage.
No. I just want to see Hook wrestle.
Oh, Hook in a ring.
If Brock Anderson can get in there and wrestle like his dad, I sure should know.
Hey, people wanted Brock in AEW. We got a Brock in AEW.
That's the Brock I want. That's the only Brock I want in AEW is Brock Anderson.
Literally the only one.
But Hook, man, I want to see him tossing some dudes on their heads like his dad did.
Yeah. Young Bucks had a backstage promo about the match next week with Eddie Kingston and Pentagon. I'm calling them Pentagon. AEW, the tag team qualifying match, or what do they call it? The Eliminator match for the tag belts. There was like stooging out Cutler here. It was pretty funny. My boy Cutler.
Oh, God. That Bucks promo is.
Yeah. Heel Bucks are way better at cutting promos than the face Bucks, man. The heel Bucks promos are. I feel they hit a lot better.
Well, I mean, that goddamn. That hat chain was incredible. Oh. And they kept the one line. He's like, you know what, Brandon? We're going to keep that line. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And he's their young boy, man. They treat him like trash.
And then he's clucking like a chicken at one point. And I'm just like, oh, it's so good.
It's great, man. I love that. The heel Bucks cut a lot better promos than they did when they were baby phases. And I feel like they hit a lot better. I love when they bring a lot of their BTE fun, like silliness, to their promos on Dynamite. I feel like they need to start doing those a little bit more as well, because I love the BTE Bucks. Not like I'm not talking about the BTE Bucks where, you know, they're fucking around with Carl Anderson, he's eating the sour candy. He's not that shit. I'm talking about like when they're actually like
sour boy. He's like, boy. Ooh, I don't like that. It's not good.
I was pissed. I laugh at those because Matt Jackson can't hold it in. Doc Gallows and Nick are holding it in, but like Matt's got to literally turn his head around because he can't freaking hold it in because he's like absolutely pissing himself laughing.
Oh God. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it just, he hits that face and I can't even keep it in, man. It's so good.
So Tully, this is okay. We'll talk about the Tully Blanchard and Conan in-ring promo thing here. We do got to point out her LAX theme. So I'm like, that just like,
oh my God. I love the LAX theme so much.
So they can play it. They can play it. I know that they don't want to, it seems like they don't want to let, but for one match only, can they please just come back out to the LAX theme with Conan for one fucking match? I don't care if it's not going to be week after week.
So I don't know if this is Conan going off script or whatever, but you know, he was calling them Proud and Powerful. He wasn't calling them Santana or Ortiz.
Yeah, which they swayed away from that.
Really quickly they swayed away from that. But I don't know if they'll call them LAX. I mean, I would love it if they did. But this is kind of what I want to see a little bit, like with this Inner Circle Pinnacle feud. Like, yeah, we can get that moment like we had later, but like, I'd like for some of these to like branch off into their own thing. Like, this is definitely an entity onto its own, and I don't want any other members of Pinnacle or any other members of Inner Circle being involved in this feud at all. Just these six, just that's all I want.
Yeah. So
this was the best thing I think Conan's done in forever.
It was such a deep promo, and I love the Walmart greeter line on
grandkid on line.
Tony, yeah, and the grandkid line. I was like, damn, like
someone said that is the closest Tessa Blanchard's ever gonna get to AEW.
See this,
and I laughed. Yeah. I was like, oh,
okay, yeah.
And I was like, that is bad. Somewhere your boy Phil is like, no, so please.
This. Right, shit like this. Out of the entire like Inner Circle versus Pinnacle feud, this is like the thing I'm more invested in out of all of them. And it's sad because I'm wearing my boy's shirt right now. I'm sorry, like he's not really even doing anything. It's really like Sammy and MJF. He's kind of just like there. But FTR and this, like, what are they doing, Bill? Like I was talking about with the social laughter. Are they holding out until All Out for this? Are they going to build this all summer, or are they destined for one of the July shows?
Man, so what I want is, selfishly, I don't know if I mentioned it here or somewhere else, I want a best of seven series with these guys, and I want to prove the supremacy, and maybe that's where we get Proud, you know, LAX, Proud and Powerful, Santana Ortiz, where we're going to call them, have them go on to Grand Slam and main event against the Bucks. Oh, because God, that would make the most sense, like to have that, like, give me, like, I want to see everything with these guys. I want to see a bunkhouse brawl. I want to see a 2 out of 3 falls match. I want to see an Iron Man match. I want to see a street fight. I want to see, I don't care, give me another exploding ring death match. I don't care. Anything. Any type of match you want to put these guys in, tornado
tag.
It's
got to be physical. Like, it's got, just the way it's being built, it's got to be, it's not just a regular match. These two are going to beat the living crap out of each other, and it's got to be, like,
I
want to
see a lot of these matches.
It might be unsanctioned because AEW's got this like unsanctioned fatuation because we've seen a bunch of them already.
Yeah, but they aren't overdoing it. So like they use them judiciously, I think. And I would love to see that. And then whomever comes out, whoever the top tag team is, they go on to face the Bucks at because I think the Bucks are gonna lose that eliminator to Kingston and Pentagon, and then they're going to go face Kingston and Pentagon. I almost saw them Kingston and Pentagon.
Kingston and
yeah, and I want to see that all out. But man, like, and I want to see the, like, Santana Ortiz coming out to the LAX theme song in Queens, which is not far from the Bronx where they're from.
Yeah.
The pop for that will be ungodly.
And they come out with, like, maybe they come out with, like, the other LAX people.
I mean, well, they're not going to, I mean.
Like, guys, like.
Homicide would be the one guy, especially in Queens. Like, Homicide would be the guy you bring out.
Not, like, to walk to the ring with.
Well, I mean, Diamante is already there.
Yeah.
So, please, I hope she's signed. She's great. But all I know is, like, if they're going to keep Conan with them, and Tully's going to stick with FDR, which we know
he is. I think Conan's sticking around.
It's going to be great. It's going to be so much money. Because I thought what Conan did on the mic was amazing, and he even brought a little bit of.
It came out so smooth. Like Tully, like was fumbling his words around, but Conan was like, "Yeah, but he on the money."
Yeah, but Tully recovered nicely, but Conan bringing in a little bit of like real world politics and stuff like that without it being like super weird was really awesome. But I love the moment that he's like, "I brought here's my guys coming out to help me," and I'm just like, "That's not them, man!" Like. That's going to be like when they came out, they beat the crap out of Conan.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Can't believe they went and did a spot like that on him. That popped me too. I was like, damn, they actually went full out with this.
A guy who's had a million surgeries too in Conan, like, you know, steel rod, you know, hip replacements, kidney replacements. And he's taken that move. I mean, I guess just proves like someone says on Twitter, proves how much people trust FDR. Yeah.
Well, keep it going. If there's this forbidden door, Hernandez can clearly come over just for an entrance.
I don't think Impact's really holding on to Hernandez with a death clutch.
So
See Hernandez early in his career do a tope suicida onto his forehead.
What?
In Rexplex and Elizabeth. He overshot who he was supposed to hit. That's the first time I ever saw someone with a concussion because he was greeting people and he was.
Back in the day in Impact, who were the original LAX people?
It was Conan, Homicide, Hernandez, then it was Shelly Martinez.
Okay.
Then it was Zelina Vega.
Okay.
And it was in there, and they had some guy named Anarchia, and then it was Sarah Stock.
Zelina Vega is also interesting because by then you never know.
Well, hey, maybe in
2 weeks if they can reunite most of the people, there would be a crazy entrance. I'm just saying.
Listen, there's a surprise someone has.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a sec here. I'm gonna follow my script here, though. Dante Martin, Matt Sydal, speaking of. So actually, it's coincidentally what I just talked about. So Vicky Guerrero, like, actually interrupted Dante Martin's entrance. I'm like, oh, are we actually going to get – I thought for a split second we were going to get Andrade's debut match instead of Sydal. And I was like, damn, okay, here we go. Dante and Andrade and – they talk about the surprise thing. So I tweeted this out. I was going to bring this up again because I said last week, Bill, I'm like, I know what they're doing. They're going to do this thing with Vicky and Andrade where they build the surprise up for who knows how long, maybe over the summer until Thea finally gets in there, and it's going to be Thea. It's going to be Thea.
I think it has to be.
It's got to be Thea. What else is a surprise? I sat there and said to Tiff last week, I'm like, what else is a surprise? They can't. There's nothing else.
Well, there's one other thing it could be.
Who?
It could be a little, but I just did the old L.I.J. fist bump. Remember, he's a Los Ingobernables.
Yeah.
Could he be bringing the boys? Could he be bringing Naito and Shingo and Sonata and Hiromu?
You know the New Japan, like, we're all marks. The New Japan marks I watch AEW will go nuts for that, though.
I mean, we're pretty much one of the same, I think. But I mean, it's just like, dude, those guys show up. If he's like, we've got Los Ingobernables de, you know, Japón coming in. And remember, there's also a Facción de Ingobernables in Ring of Honor, which is no slouches by their extent, which is Rush, Kenny King, Dragon Lee, and Bestia del Ring. So Rush and Dragon Lee in AEW, that would be big time.
And I don't want to give crap
to Vicky. They're related, and Rush and Andrade are cousins.
Okay, so I don't want to give crap to Vicky here, but I feel like Thea would be the better mouthpiece for Andrade than Vicky. That's why I want it to be Thea, because she was gold with him in NXT.
You're right. However, Vicky Guerrero, if you morphed the character into, which we saw a little more of an understated Vicky Guerrero in the second promo with Nyla Rose.
Yeah.
Imagine you make Vicky Guerrero like the... You know, they call them the, you know, she's the crime boss, kind of. She's like the head of the operation where it's her organization. So like Matt the, Hardy.
Like Matt Hardy kind of thing, yeah.
He runs the family office, but she's like the Donna Corleone, essentially, of the group. And she, you know, she has a wild mouthpiece, like, for her, like in Zelina Vega, and then has... You know, Andrade and Nyla, and she, you know, she's the one, she's the power broker. She's bringing people in from Mexico and Japan, and that's part of Vicky's stable that would be really, really cool. And she could still be Vicky Guerrero, because remember, Vicky Guerrero, the Guerrero name holds such, you know, sway in the wrestling world. For her to be like this very powerful woman, you know, holding an organization, and she, I think that could work really well. I don't think they'll and do if, it, but like, it's an interesting
and
thought.
What if they add a third to that group? What if someone gets to work with his wife in the same company?
I don't want that.
No.
No, no, no. I want him, Tommy, and there, but I want him with the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah, I've seen all those. I've seen all those posts. People are like,
Butcher, the Blade, and Brody King, if they ever got Brody King.
Yeah. So Seidel interrupted Andrade, which was pretty funny. So I feel like Seidel and Andrade is going to be the debut match.
Yeah, that'll be in like, they've announced a bunch for Miami. I think that's either Miami or Texas. Yeah. I would say Texas.
Yeah, or maybe they wait till the end of July. No.
Nah, I don't know. Fyter Fest is always big for them, so I could see Fyter Fest.
Okay. So unreal high flying match. I mean, these guys can go at it again anytime. I loved it.
Dante's incredible.
He's like 20. He's like 20 years old. JR's like, he's not even old enough to rent a car yet.
No, he's not. But just watching him, man, there's stuff he did in this match where, like, man, when he figures it all out.
Yeah.
Like,
his timing is like right on the button. Yeah.
He worked so hard in this match. There was a couple things he did in this. I just couldn't believe what he did.
Yeah.
But Seidel, hell of a year for Seidel. I thought he was going to be like a one and done dude.
So did I. I thought when he showed up, I'm like, okay, this is going to be like, he's going to be here and then that's going to be it. And well, he's really
essentially Leo Rush ended up being that guy.
Yeah. And then he brought in his brother, and his brother's actually like, I love when his brother wrestles. I'm not for the yoga gimmick thing. It's kind of not.
I like Mike Seidel. I think he's good.
The gimmick doesn't sit with me. I like the in-ring work. The gimmick doesn't really sit with me. But I liked, like, Matt Seidel, you know, getting
his
chance.
Just say you don't like hippies. Just say it.
That's not what I'm saying, because I like Matt Seidel, and he's basically like a hippie.
He is.
So Seidel wins with the lightning spiral. Great move. Beautiful move. And that's about it. And then we get
Jay. I do like Seidel being the first guy for Andrade. Yeah.
Jade and Mark, they're doing some more stuff with them. They've actually trademarked Mark Sterling's name. AW, they filed the trademark.
He's so good. I love that guy. I'm not biased just because I have Salt and Pepper hair. I think they've really quickly gelled as a nice duo.
Yeah, they give you a code, guys. That, you know, I was giving you the AEP Manscaped code. This code is that B at Shop AW saves you 10%. Apparently, I haven't tried to see if it works, but it's a new partnership that these two have. If someone has tried it, let me know in the chat. Make fun. They're making fun of the wrestling. I love how they made fun of the wrestling fans. The whole XXL line. You're like, oh, we sold out of the XXL line because of, you know, the wrestling crowd out there.
I mean, like they're not.
They're not wrong, but I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I love how they're not afraid to go there.
Someone on Twitter brought this up. They said her ripping a Dark Order shirt. They're like, don't be surprised if AEW brings this back up when Anna Jay gets cleared.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They do stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm there for it. Let's do it. So those two? Come on now.
I do have a small critique about these promos that's been going on with these two the last couple of weeks. They're a little bit feel rushed and too fast. You know what I mean? There's like it's almost like every other promo I see in the show, they're given the alluded time and it ends smoothly. This one, it ends like Jade's got to like say it really fast and they cut it like as soon as she's done talking. It's like, there's no like stare into the camera kind of thing, then fade away. It's always like as soon as she's done talking, the very last word, they cut it.
I feel like they don't let things marinate a little bit. I thought they did that pretty well with the Vicky Guerrero's thing.
They let Jade stare into the camera with that glare she has that she does so good and let it fade out. Don't just like cut it as soon as she's done talking.
Well, they did the same thing when Conan took the pile driver. They went to JR and Excalibur instead of staying with Conan for the, you know, just to let it hold. Like, I think they rush things a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I get it. They have a lot of stuff to get on the show, but I think just like giving it that extra beat, I think for a dramatic effect would be really, really good. But going back to Andrade for a second, that whole segment was like straight out of ECW Hardcore TV. It's just like, guy comes out. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt you. Okay, we'll be back. All right, match happens, and then like something pays off like 2 weeks later. It's like I'm just like Tony Khan's been watching his old VHS tapes.
You know he is. You know that's how he's booking his shows. He's watching his old tapes, and he's got a notepad, and anything crazy thing that he loves, he writes down. Okay, we're going to do this on AWTV.
I mean, it's not like I do that.
Yeah,
I don't do that now.
I'm not saying anything wrong with it. It's just like,
no, I know.
It's great. Like, I love that they pay homage to a lot of old things, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we do need to see her have a feud though. So,
yeah,
Secret Detective.
Enough with the backstage promos are gonna get old. Like, this happens
a
lot. Yeah. MJF, Wardlow, and Sean Spears had a promo. Okay, MJF dropping the pig vomit line from the Howard Stern movie caught it right away.
I didn't.
I got it. So apparently, and it was a real thing. I guess it's actually not even just from the movie, like for real. I guess they cut when Howard Stern first went to NBC or WNBC. They cut one of his shows, and he literally told Robin, his co-host, to stay on the air and patch him through. He went to outside the guy, the director's door, and called into the radio show and was like banging on his door and calling him pig vomit. They refer to it, the guy as pig vomit, the guy that keeps that was censoring his show when he first went over the WNBC. So when he dropped the pig vomit line, it instantly clicked with me. And if anyone's seen the movie Private Parts, they know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it's a great film, by the way. Like, it's Howard Stern's in the movie himself, and he plays a younger himself as well. It just it goes through the life of how Howard Stern became a radio jockey. Like, it's awesome. Great, great movie. Anyways, he dropped that line, and Jericho and Hager jumped them. They made it to the ring. Sammy G came out for the save, cleared the ring. Next week, Sammy and MJF.
Babyface gold, Sammy Guevara. Yeah. Babyface gold.
Yeah, another big, big baby face in AW. His match with MJF next week is going to be interesting.
I'm surprised they're not saving it for Texas, though.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me... It's got...
They're going to do a Houston show. That's where Sammy's from.
So next week, Sammy with 316 vibes. I actually have... I feel those vibes with either with Moxley or Hangman. Like, the Stone Cold vibes are with those two. Sammy is he's hot right now. He's the hottest part.
Sammy's so hot right now.
Yeah. but next week, I don't know. Do you think they have like the full match and that's like the conclusion of them two, or something's going to happen?
Oh,
that's
not the conclusion.
Maybe like MJF, like quote unquote,
Texas
hurt himself.
They'll have something. No, it'll be a clean finish. There's always a clean finish in AEW, but I think we'll have a Texas death match between those two, because we're doing a lot of very violent things.
Or if they jump Sammy and it prevents him from having the match.
Well, you already did that, and he already saved Jericho, so that's kind of weird. But you know, I feel like Sammy and MJF are not done. All right, let me put the Reynolds wrap around my head. Sammy MJF cage match all out.
Oh,
we haven't had a cage match. You know who does dumb things off of high stuff? Sammy Guevara. So that's a spectacle that needs to happen, in my opinion.
Okay.
I know it'll probably be Jericho.
Sal, that's funny.
But I think Sammy and MJF's the money feud. I think that's the MJF has a couple fight forever feuds.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy and Sammy are those two.
Yeah.
And Cody, but I don't know if they're ever gonna revisit that.
Well, Cody's got a lot to do to build himself back up.
Hey, MJF scarf just showed up, so how ironic.
Oh, MJF scarf. What's going on, buddy? How's the silkness going this summer? I know he's got the new silk scarf.
He needs to be able to breathe. Come on.
Okay. So Miro promo backstage on Brian Pillman Jr. Very good. I mean, I love how he brings up his hot wife thing and the flexible thing. And
God's favorite wrestler and his hot wife.
Lana's for sure going to be in AEW 100%. It's happening. It's going to happen.
You know what? I only wanted to have it like once.
And she's not going to be like the ravishing Russian. She's going to come in like as herself in her own accent. And she's going to be like this. I can see being like this hot goddess, like valet for Miro. Cause he keeps talking like how hot she is. And she's going to come out looking like a fucking rocket, like the way that she is. And like it'd be like Instagram influencer kind of character.
I don't know if that's a Canadian thing, but I've never heard a woman described as a hot rocket before. So yeah, it took me
maybe it's a Canadian thing. But anyways, I can see that 100%.
Yeah, I don't want it too much, though.
No.
I would love it for all of a sudden.
Miro is really good on his own, like very fucking good on his own.
Really good. I'm surprised Penelope wasn't with him because this was involved with her.
Yeah, they did that whole thing where
Brian didn't have anyone with him.
Okay. Yeah, true.
So, but I'm liking that they're giving Pillman some more time to cut promos and they believe in him.
Yeah.
And I saw him in MLW. He's definitely evolved and I love Varsity Blonde. I love Varsity Blondes. They're so much fun, man.
He's got the name, like, too. Like, a lot of people that remember Brian Pillman, like his father, and he's got the junior with it. And the name sticks is there alone. And now that he's part of, like, a really good tag team, and the one that, you know what, I'm not going to lie. I'll say it right here that at first I didn't think the Varsity Blondes would get off the way they did. I didn't think so.
But, and now they added Julia, and that just makes it even better.
Yeah. We did talk about the Vicky thing, MJF scarf. He's telling in the live chat. We're on the page. It's either going to be Thea the surprise, or Bill brought the thing of it could be I keep forgetting.
Los Ingobernables.
Los Ingobernables.
Or Los Ingobernables
from
around the world. And then she ends up being like this kind of like Donna Corleone, this Queen of the South type deal. If you ever watch that USA show, where she's the cartel boss, but she's people working for her, like Athea and other people who can cut promos. She doesn't always have to.
Ethan Page faced Bear Bronson. Big fan of the Men of the Year tag team. Fucking love these guys.
This match, I love these guys. No right to be this good.
Yeah, it was great.
So good.
And I fucking love Ethan Page. I knew of him before AEW.
Oh yeah,
the Canadian thing is always a big pop for me, but ever since him stepping foot in AEW till now, I've grown to love Ethan Page a lot more, and I'm a huge fan of him. Not only that, he's from literally like 25 minutes up the highway from me where he was born. So that's a big thing now. So
Did you ever go to his indie company?
No, I did not. Unfortunately.
Alpha One.
No. I did not get a chance. I remember when someone told me of it, but I didn't think that was him that owned it. So
it was. It is. I think he's still running it.
Okay. So,
but dude, this match, Bear Bronson got in a ton of offense.
They love Bear Country, man. They were. I see. Like, you can tell AEW was like big fans right off the bat. Like, they had like two dark matches, and you just seen them every single week after that.
Dude, I saw them in Beyond, and I was like, but I saw Boulder used to be this guy. He used to be called Beefcake in WrestlePro, which is run by Pat Buck. And he's like, I saw him. I'm like, he's pretty good. And then like when he started with Bear Country, I was like, these guys are great. I'd love to see them in AEW. But I'm like, I don't know if they would fit. Lo and behold, they did.
Yeah.
And can I say I have a concern with this match? Is like, what are we doing with Scorpio Sky?
I kind of feel like
I know he's in a contract year. I kind of feel like Ethan Page is getting all the shine and he's not, because Ethan's in the Darby feud.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything right now. I kind of want to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just like, that's my concern, is that Ethan's
going to it's going to be like they're going to fall apart, or like by the time his contract comes up near the end. Or he'll resign. They're gonna resign him, and they'll continue on, because I love these guys as a tag team. I'm fine if they stayed a tag team and they stayed in the division.
Jim Ross said it. He's like, I think they're one of the best tag teams in AEW. I thought Jim Ross had a good night. I know he kept saying I'm screwing up, but I felt like Jim Ross had better insight than he usually does.
I noticed he doesn't do well a lot in the heat as well. This happens a lot when it's really heat.
I don't either. I don't either.
I don't blame him. He sits there in the clothes that he wears and the cowboy hat all damn night, man. I'd be like sweating my ass off. But Paige cut a really good promo after.
100 degree weather, so I know about it.
So he cut a good promo after, saying he ain't done with Darby Allin. He challenges him on July 7th in Miami to a coffin match, a.k.a. casket match. But it'll be, AEW-wise, which it'll probably be like a crazy-looking coffin. And
it'll probably be more like the FMW coffins, where it actually looks like a wood coffin.
Yeah, I can see it. I can actually see, like, Darby losing that match, too. And literally Ethan, with hammer and nails, literally hammering down the nails in the coffin.
Dude, the Darby promos that he's going to do leading up to this are going to be...
Which is going to be only next week, because then the week after they're having the match.
Oh, shit. Well, hopefully he got the memo to start filming.
So MJF Scar said it in the chat, they are unique Bear Country. I love their look. I love their thing. And that was great. Britt Baker talking about Vicky Guerrero's weird favorite. I mean, I brought this up last week, Bill. I'm like, it's a weird, you get a favor from Tony Khan and this is what you asked for? I thought it was extremely weird last week. I'm like, you didn't ask for a title match?
Well, that's the thing. It's That's why we got it. You think they're going to build it. I don't think they're going to build it. I think they're going to drop something.
Okay.
They're going to drop. Yeah, because this thing is not going to. This isn't going to just be Vicky Guerrero wrestling.
Are we getting Vicky wrestling? Like, are we? Is that legit going to happen? I mean,
we've done the bait and switch before with Reba.
Yeah.
And who is it? Was Maki Ito. Remember?
Yeah.
So like she pulled out for that. So I could see it being someone else.
I just don't know who.
Well.
It can't be anyone lackluster, can it?
I mean, it could be. It'd be terrible, but it's
like someone from Dark. They just pulled someone from Dark, or not trying to like run anyone down here. If they pulled like a Diamante, or they pulled like a, you know, like, I don't know. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head right now. But like, if they pull somebody,
it's not gonna be Diamante. It's not gonna be like, you know, your girl Danny Jordan or anything like that.
It's not Thea, guys. It's not Thea. That's too.
No. You can't rule that out.
Next week? Next week when it's taped. You think that's what they're going to debut Thea?
First off, next week's live.
Oh, it's live? They are? Are they legit live. Selling tickets for that?
Yeah, it's super cheap.
Oof. I'll say the same thing. I don't think that's where they bring out Thea for that either, because you know they're not going to get the amount of crowd that you want to debut her at. She's huge now. She can't just debut in a crowd with 1,000 people.
It's not about that day. It's about the next week and the week after.
I still don't feel like they would do it next week.
You're going to Miami. You're going to add her all of a sudden. Here's what you get. She debuts on Wednesday. And then Tony Khan's just announced that Andrade El Idolo is going to take on Matt Sydal in Miami. Managing him will be Thea Trinidad. Boom. There you go.
Because I know they're not. The Miami show is not doing
it. It's not going to be Cameron. The Funkadactyl. No, it's not going to be Arian Andrews.
I have this gut feeling it's going to be Vicky, and she's going to be in like a horrible looking attire, and she's barely going to wrestle.
Yeah, she's going to come out, but I could see her feigning injury.
Oh.
And something happening. Or maybe there's someone we don't know. Maybe there's someone out there that they have coming in.
I don't know.
That we don't know about. Maybe she paid off. I mean, it'd be interesting if she paid off, like Ryu Mizunami. She pays off Layla Hirsch. She pays off someone else. That could work. It's not going to be Tessa. I just don't see it.
We do know that she mentioned it. The title match is going to happen at Fyter Fest Night 2.
Yeah, so that's going to happen.
So we know it's leading up to that. So,
but no one's who is released has their contract up at this time.
Yeah.
For that,
so. Someone from Impact would be interesting.
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah. So Statlander and Ali, because they were talking up. They're talking up a lot next week with them. They're like, oh, next week we're going back to normal. You know, we're going back to Wednesdays, and that's going to start like, you know, Wednesday live on Dynamite every single week.
Thank God, I hate this Friday and Saturday shit.
And I'm sick and tired of the tape shit too. Like the tape, when you can tell it's taped, and just, I don't know. I need the live show with the live crowds now.
By the way, saw some of the results or some of the tapings for people who are going to be on Elevation, like Carl Anderson's wrestling on Elevation.
Yeah, I saw that. No, I saw some of the footage. Yeah,
Wheeler Yuta,
yeah,
Matthew Justice. I mean, they brought in some pretty top names for Dark and Elevation recently, so I'm pretty stoked on them.
So Statlander and Ali had a good match. They were given a lot of time, very well deserved as well.
Yeah, I like what Ali's been doing. There was a time where I was like, why is Ali not wrestling? And now she's like coming out and she's killing it.
And see, guys, we have patience. They listen to the fans. They just gave like these two women literally like 10, 12 minute match. Like they gave a great amount of time to these two girls. So I love the bunny psychotic look, man. I'm all for that bunny shit. And she's Canadian too, obviously. I'm like a big homer for the Canadians. You guys know that.
Just waiting for the Canadian show to happen.
I'm waiting for Team Canada to happen in AEW whenever that happens, whenever in the distant future. And then Petey Williams comes over and is like their coach. JR, the line he dropped that made me pop and laugh. He's like, oh, congratulations to Blade, and I'm purchasing that new tanning bed. he looked like a lobster.
Well, you know what, man? I guess he did look like a lobster thermidor. And that's for any of you guys who watched the Lego Batman movie. I love the angle at the end. Let's get Blade and Orange Cassidy. They like this is like I like when they give guys who don't have haven't done much, like Blade hasn't done much.
Yeah.
Like giving him something to do. And I think it's gonna be real fun.
That Brad Knuckles shot was pretty well done because I thought he actually popped him.
Real good. Orange Cassidy sold up. Yeah. He was dead.
Because getting hit in that area, like he got him, he aimed for like right under the jaw. And I think he just stopped himself, but the way right Cassidy sold it was really great, and you can see like him like lying on the ground with his eyes wide open was fantastic.
When do we get Kenny into Orange going back? That's my question.
I don't know. That might Trent. Be put on the back burner until I don't know.
We're not gonna have Trent for God knows how long.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, Trent had reconstructive neck surgery, which
neck fusion,
aka
yeah.
Edge.
Awesome.
Which Edge had, didn't he have like two or three of those? So
I don't know that. I know he's back on SmackDown this week.
Edge had, I'm pretty sure he had two because he returned twice from neck surgery. So yes, I think he's had two of them. So if this is Trent's first one, it's slightly a good sign, but he's going to be out for a while. Because that's a very, very major surgery to recover from.
And so, for the sake of Tiff, I hope one of her husbands comes back. Healthy and back and better than ever and tan as hell.
Yeah. I mean, QT Marshall had a backstage promo. I really don't want to talk about that. So we're going to move on to the main event.
Where's it go, by the way?
This is why I don't know. This feud is just like,
It needs to end and I need a go-go back. I need more governor promos in my life.
As I mentioned earlier, Cody's going to have a lot of work to do building himself back up when he comes back.
Well, there is that rumor he's playing that 4D chess and he's been a heel all along.
We'll see.
I wouldn't hate it.
You know, the crowd would pop for something like that though. If he comes back as a babyface, they're gonna eat him alive.
Well, see, they won't eat him alive against QT Marshall.
No.
Where he goes next is the big question.
Hangman and Kenny. Jungle Boy and Kenny Omega, main event. Wow.
Good God Almighty.
What a way to end the night. I mean, the promos they did earlier tonight were pretty good. Like
the best line came when Don Callis comes in and says, I'd like to join this 2.5 man commentary booth. No offense, Shivani. He's like, none taken, Don, and burn in hell. And I'm just like, fuck, that's a good line.
But very good promo earlier tonight. It was very cool. I loved how they brought up that the last time they ever had a Saturday night Dynamite, Brody Lee won the TNT belt on that night. So they built this matchup like, oh man, is Jungle, are they going to do this thing where like Saturday Night Dynamites are going to be the title changing nights? You know, they kind of feed you these little things that make you think about the match.
Yeah. Cause any other company, this would have been a throwaway. This would be like, hey, here's the TV main event. This speaker's Kenny Omega and Jungle Boy. It's going to be a good match. They didn't build it that way. They built it like this was a big fight. And I like when you build a title as a big fight. Every time we've had a title match, pretty much in 2021, I mean, I'm sure there's some that haven't been, but even Bucks and Varsity Blondes, like they built it up as a big title fight. And what AEW does so well is they take guys like you and me who've been, and other people too, who've been watching it their whole lives and should know better. We should know. Jungle Boy's not going to win this title. Varsity Blondes are going to beat the Bucks. Red Velvet's not going to beat Britt Baker. Hikaru Shida. But they make us believe. Yeah. They give us that moment where you're like, oh, shit, and this might change. This might happen. And that's the beauty of how they book their big fights. So Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho is another one.
Yeah, the TNT like the belt.
Every
single TNT belt that gets defended and is almost defended every week or every other week. Anytime there's a TNT belt match booked, they do like two or three promos with people, both like Miro and whoever. Like look what they're doing with Pillman Jr. and Miro. Like they do these cool builds, and that's why I appreciate about AEW. It doesn't matter what title it is, and whatever if it's a title match on a Dynamite or a pay per view, they make it really big, and I appreciate that. It's not like just like, you know, and I'll throw a shot here like WWE where you don't know what's going on in Raw the next week. You get there and there's a Intercontinental title fight for no goddamn reason with someone who shouldn't be there. And there's no build for it. There's zero build for it. There's like nothing.
And the champion loses.
And the champion loses. Yeah. So I appreciate that AEW does these things with their titles. And it's true. And you have to do it with your main title, especially. Your main title is you made it look the way it is because you want to make it feel really important and to be the best belt in the business. And obviously it's around someone that's making more than one belt look really good right now. Like when Kenny Omega walked out with that drip, man, when he walks out with all the belts, it's just like, this is like, it's you're watching money get printed on TV. Like it's just it, the look, he kills it every time. He's just a boss. He's the greatest in the world. Kenny fucking Omega, man, the guy's holding literally 5 championships when he's walking out. And he's held the AW belt for what? 600 and something days. Like,
no, he won it in December.
I'm sorry. Not the AW belt. The other one, the
AAA belt. Yeah, the Mega Campeón.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who've held it for a very long time. He's defended it the most. Phoenix had it for almost 2 years and defended it twice.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, things happen in Mexico, man. I followed a lot of AAA. It's unusual what they do with their belts. But yeah, Kenny's just, he's on another level. And that, but this is what okay, this will probably be blasphemy for some people, but he's their Ric Flair. He's their Bret Hart. Who is going to be the guy you send out there, and he's going to take on the little known person and he's going to make them look big, because that's how you sell tickets. That's how you get ratings. It's like, you have to make your challengers look good. You want to make those guys while at the same time making yourself so you can bring business back. And that's what he, like Flair and like Bret Hart.
Now, is this the best Kenny Omega he's ever been in his entire career? Like, is this the ultimate Kenny Omega?
I don't know, because like I mean that New Japan run is pretty hard.
I want to see him have a New Japan belt. If they're going to do this belt collector thing, they need to do something where he, if it's
it can't be Moxley.
He can't be Moxley.
He
no.
can't be Moxley for that belt. I want to see it. I want to see an IWGP belt on him though. That would complete the belt collector gimmick. That would make him like, fuck, that's it. Like he's done.
I still try to think, like, him and Shingo would just be filthy good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. His match with
Ospreay was... I don't know who holds that never title.
I watched that match the other day, and I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I knew little about Shingo and going into that match, and I was, like, well beyond impressed.
Shingo is... He's been good for a long time. He was a Dragon Gate guy forever.
Although I think he is a... placeholder for that belt.
I don't think so.
No? You don't think just because of what's going on with
William?
Yeah.
Does he hold for William to return? We don't know when William's going to return, but he beat Okada.
Yeah.
If you had a placeholder, like the easy move for that is you put the belt back on Okada.
I would think.
But Shingo had a hell of a match, and he's been that guy. He's been always been on that cusp. Yeah, he might be a transition guy, but right now I think the smart money is having him have a multi-month run with it until you can find something better, because you've already gone to the well with Naito and Ibushi and all these other guys.
Okay.
They're not putting it on Sonata. They're not putting it on Ishii. It's like, who else you could put on? Minoru Suzuki? I mean, listen, I love Minoru Suzuki, and I want him to murder Grandpa to come over and challenge Moxley more than anyone. But
wait, has White held the heavyweight title before?
Yeah. He Okada beat it for him in the Garden.
That's right. For some reason, I'm only thinking about his IC title days.
Well, he didn't hold it for that long, but I think Shingo's the goods, and I think he's going to hold it for a bit.
Okay. I liked his entrance. That was the one thing I liked. That was so good. I liked
and him and Okada, him and, yeah, it's like on paper, it's not as sexy as, you know, Omega, Ospreay, Ibushi, Okada, Tanahashi, but match quality wise.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Forget about it.
That's what New Japan's known for. Like, they're literally just the best in-ring product, period.
I will think you will. Yeah, I think you will see Kenny versus Frankie at some point. That'd be great.
So crowd very heavy behind Jungle Boy with this main event, though. Very. I love, man, it just, he's going to, like, for, like, I don't know until when, but, like, Jungle Boy and every entrance he does now, because we're going back on the road, is going to be a massive pop, and the crowd is going to eat that song up, and especially when they go to the UK in November, you know they're going to be singing that damn song for the entire fucking match. But this match, when we're speaking of New Japan, these guys could literally have a rematch and give them that New Japan 30-minute time slot, and you know they're going to put on a fucking hell of a match, because this was great. We had about, I think it was just over, maybe closer to the 15-minute mark for these guys after the entrances and when the bell when they finally got things going after all the pre-match shenanigans.
I was concerned that we're going to have Christian Cage and or one of Jurassic or Luchasaurus potentially even turn on Jungle Boy for some reason, cost him the match.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they did not. I'm glad we had a clean finish and a clean match.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it was like Jungle Boy was so close. I mean, there was a few of the near submission moves where it made it like there's a couple times where I'm like, oh, like I thought for sure like Jungle Boy is probably gonna lay there and pull the trigger. And they did a really good job. And obviously you gotta make the mega champion look strong at the end there. It's a very nice clean win the way they did it. You know, like he got pissed off and then finally hit the one winged angel and he won the match clean. That was perfect.
Yeah, man.
Great way to end the match.
Omega's V triggers in this match, man, and just the way Jungle Boy sold them were just so brutal.
I feel like they could have ended the show just like that, and it could have not dealt with all the fucking shit that happened afterwards. Like that, there's too much going on to like.
I always like.
It made me stop thinking about Jungle Boy, and what an amazing match he just had. And I was like, oh fuck! Now here comes Matt Hardy. Oh, here comes the Good Brothers. Oh, here comes the Young Bucks. Oh, here comes Christian. Well,
I mean, here's the thing. It didn't make you stop thinking about him because you just gushed about him for 10 minutes.
But, like, so, I mean like at the moment.
Right, but, again, I think they're looking at we got to sell for next week. You know, we got to sell for these upcoming shows, and now you're selling Christian Cage and Matt Hardy. You're teasing once again Christian Cage and Kenny Omega.
Is that going to be the all-out match?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? But that's the thing. Now we have questions. Now we have options. So it's like, okay, maybe it's Christian Cage.
I think it's going to be Christian and Kenny at All Out.
Well, we'll see. And maybe not. We don't know. Because, like, hey, there's certain matches that popped up that for Double or Nothing and Revolution we weren't expecting. So we'll see. Like, we didn't know who the Bucks were going to challenge for the tag titles at Double, or who was going to fight the Bucks for the tag titles. And then it ended up being Mox and Kingston. And it was amazing. Rewatched that match last night, and even though I was three sheets to the wind, I still appreciated the hell out of it. It was so, like, AEW has a good way of like building someone up, you know,
right,
rather quickly and meaningfully. So I didn't mind this that much because we set up, hey, here's what's coming down the pike. We were going to get Matt Hardy and Christian, but Christian's still gonna be involved with Omega. And then we still have Private Party in there. And then the Bucks get involved. So, like, there's a lot of interesting ramifications for
it. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy summer. It's going to be, honestly, the summer with AEW is going to be awesome. I'm glad they're back on the road. The whole month of July being with all the events that are going on.
So excited.
August is still going to be great. Yeah. And then we're leading into All Out in September in the Grand Slam show. Like, it's going to be a great, great summer. Even August when we have the debut of Rampage, like that's gonna be a great. It's Brit Week that week because it's gonna be in Pittsburgh both nights.
And I remember that Pittsburgh show they did was an excellent show.
Yeah, well, with the towels great and everything, crowd. That was awesome.
Great crowd. Yeah, yeah.
And Britt's gonna get a freaking like hero's welcome when she goes there. She's gonna get like a massive pop. Like, and you know, Rampage is also that, like, it's gonna debut. It's gonna be live, so their first episode's gonna be awesome. I'm intrigued to see how they sell both nights.
I'm very excited for the future of AEW, not just because I'm on an AEW podcast, is because you look at it, it's just like, you got Rampage, you're going to revamp Elevation, you're going to revamp Dark, and, you know, how are we going to see things shape up? We have, like, three waves now of released WWE talent that could become available. Who's gonna end up there? Who's not? You still have a guy like Daniel Bryan who's not signed. I mean, I expect him to go WWE, but you never know. Like people will still kick names around, and it's really fun. And who knows? Like, you know, they were talking about more Impact stuff. Like, there was rumors that someone who's already signed someplace is going to show up on it, you know, at Slammiversary. So that could be an AEW crossover for all we know.
Yeah,
like. Or it could be New Japan as well. But, like, you know, we're going to see people coming over from Japan. We're getting some more Stardom and Tokyo Joshi Pro people. Like, there's a lot that's going to be happening if this IWGP US thing is going to come to fruition. That's going to be super exciting.
I can see 2022 being the year that we get what we all want to happen. The New Japan AEW Super Show.
Well, Cody Rhodes said they'll never do a super show. But I don't think it's a co-promote.
Never
I think
it. I'm gonna drop the line in wrestling that's dropped all the time. Never say never.
Don't believe some of the stuff Cody Rhodes does here.
Money can be made with that show. Money can be made and publicity
can.
Yeah, it will.
I was at the Garden where, and no offense to Ring of Honor, their roster was severely less than what AEW has. Yeah, I was there too. Yeah.
Everyone was just there to see Okada, to be real. Everyone, like, when I was sitting there listening in line, everyone was talking about Okada. It was literally the only conversation everyone was having.
I was at the fan thing because I was the press day the day before, and there were two lines out of everyone was there. It was Ibushi and Okada.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man, like those you put that those two rosters of AEW and New Japan back to and put them together. That's all goal. That's a stadium sellout.
You can sell, like, he owns a stadium. the stadium is already been picked out.
Yeah, but I mean, they could do an even bigger stadium if they wanted. Like, they could do it anywhere in the world, and they could sell it probably a soccer
field. I would travel for that. I would so travel for that show. But I'm just saying, like, when I say next year, is because next year AEW goes to TBS, which is an even bigger TV deal. You know, does New Japan kind of see that as like, okay, so they're on a bigger platform?
I mean, it's a relative move. They're a couple million more homes, but I think where we're going to see the bigger moves, you're going to see California in 2022 if they're not doing it in 2021. Your neck of the woods for sure.
Oh, yeah, Full Gear last year, guys. If you didn't know, 2020 was supposed to be in Toronto.
Yeah, and so I'm going
to
say
Tony Khan has his roots planted in Toronto because he owns the Four Season Hotels in Toronto. That's why they did the whole thing with the promo last week with Jade and Mark, and they mentioned the Four Seasons because Tony Khan literally owns all the Four Seasons in Toronto. So
I was wondering. Yeah. So you're going to get Canada. You're going to get more stuff around the world. So, like, there's going to be a lot of really, really cool stuff that's going to be happening.
Yeah. So I honestly can't wait, man. I want them to come to Toronto so bad. Like, I was so pumped when I heard that and the pandemic
happened. They have to. It would be asinine for them not.
Well, the Four Seasons will be the AEW hotel, because I remember when I went to Full Gear in 2019, I stayed at the AEW hotel. That was the Crown Plaza, right next to the Royal Farms Arena, and fuck, there was wrestlers everywhere in that building. It was nuts. Jamie Frank, how you doing in chat? How you doing, Jamie? How you doing? You're coming in right at the end of the podcast, unfortunately, but yeah, Dynamite.
Yeah, see how high my hair can get before the podcast ends. So yeah.
Dynamite, great episode of Dynamite again. It's going to be an awesome rest of the year for AEW. Now we're going back on the road.
Next week will be a fun show.
Yep. Next week's going to be the Igniter, basically. And then July 7th will be... July 7th show, like, the look of it is going to be interesting because I've seen the pictures of what the theater looks like. I think I posted it in our chat
for
Miami. It's a weird-looking theater. That's going to be interesting setup. And I've seen the seat placement on the ticket chart. Very interesting. It's weird.
Listen, this show is Daly's place when I first saw it.
That's true.
Weird.
True.
This is an amphitheater for concerts. How's this going to work?
And I say weird too, and I'm so used to Daly's place being like the way it is. That's going to be weird too when they go back in the road, not seeing the Daly's
place
kind of look.
It's weird watching pay per views, like going back on BR and watching some of the pay per views in arenas. And you're like, oh, this was
a thing.
Yeah, you remember Revolution where they had the wristbands that lit up.
That was cool.
Yeah, and like, will that come back? Like, there's a lot of things you wonder what they were going to do if they're going to come back. So it'd be very interesting.
Do want to thank Bill for coming on today, for filling in for Tiffany. Next week, guys, you know, AEW's going back in the role regular program on Wednesdays. That means me and Tiff will be back on regular programs. That's every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Periscope for the No Holds Bar Network. It's a great network, guys. If you're watching on YouTube right now live, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. It's free to click. Helps us in the long run. If you're watching back, do the same as well. If you're an audio listener, you guys know you're all my favorite. Thank you for downloading the episode. Wherever you're listening on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you're getting your podcasts, search up the No Holds Bar Network. You will get the All Elite Podcast there. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, please give us a generous 5-star rating and let us know what you think of the podcast and network itself. It helps us a lot in the chartable side of things. So thank you to all who have done that so far. I do want to give Bill a little bit of a time here to promote himself. I'll put his links down in the description below. I know I forgot to do it right now on the YouTube part. I'll put them in after, but you can see there right underneath his chin where you can follow him on Twitter at BodkinWrites, but I'll let him do all the rest of the stuff. So Bill, here's your 30 seconds of fame.
I am the editor-in-chief of thepopbreak.com. Check us out every single day. We're talking pro wrestling. We're talking movies, music. We're going back to concerts now. We're talking TV, anime, comic books. We've got a slew of podcasts. So follow us every day, thepopbreak.com. We are on Twitter at thepopbreak, on Instagram at thepopbreak, /popbreak.com, all spelt out on Facebook. Check out my podcast, This Wrestling Life, a podcast, which you can find on the Breakcast Hub of the Pop Break Podcast Network. You could find that on Anchor, Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We also have we have Pop Break TV. We have And the Winner Still Is, our retro Oscar podcast, and the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. Those are all on those same platforms. And I am also the host of the Socially Distanced podcast, which drops now every Friday. We're doing a low-key review series, myself, my managing editor, Al Manarino, and special guests every single week talking about low-key until that series comes to an end. And then we got to figure out something to talk about on all those same podcast platforms. So thank you very much for having me, Kyle.
No problem, man. The best friends reunited again. And yeah, I can't wait to start Loki. I can't wait to do that. I'm going to start it soon.
Very good.
But yeah, I've heard a lot of great reviews about it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up again. We'll be back here live every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time with the All Elite Podcast, going back to our regular format right here on the No Holds Barred Network, which is your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I am your host as always. I am your self-proclaimed greatest host, Kyle Masters, the Canadian God, as my shirt says, like my boy Sean Spears. Today I'm joined by Bill Bodkins, and we'll see you back here next week, guys, next Thursday. And as we do always, we get the proper Kenny Omega send-off.
Goodbye, and good night, bang! With me.